I was just wondering if anybody missed me if I didn't stand up. So I thought I'd wait a minute.
Today.
Yeah.
Today.
Chautauqua. It's bound to be an Indian word, right? What does it mean? Do you know? You just do it and you don't pay any attention to what it means? What does it mean? Do you know? Who knows? I'll bet it means the gathering or something like that. One of the earliest Chautauquas for white people that I know of is in New York City. There's actually, not New York City, but New York State. I've been there. I actually interviewed with a church, didn't get the job, but I interviewed with a church on the edge of an area that they call Chautauqua. And it probably means the gathering place. You have to be careful, though, with the actual meaning of Indian words, because you just never know. I heard just the other day that the word vegetarian is actually Cherokee. Did you know that? Yeah. It means bad hunter. I appreciate you laughing. Everybody else is going, who is this guy and how long is he going to be here? Fathers are talked about a lot in the Bible, New Testament and Old. Most of the time, they're not talked about very positively, except when we're talking about God as our Father. We know, for instance, that Timothy, in all that Paul talked about him, nurtured him, encouraged him, he only mentions the fact that his father was a Greek. Evidently, he wasn't a part of Timothy's life. We know that Paul talked often about being a father, but we know that probably he was not a physical father. He was a spiritual father to people like Timothy, Timothy's mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice, all of the other people that he led to the Lord in that respect, in that context. The Gospel of John reminds us that in our Father's house are many rooms. He provides for us and gives us a picture of a father. The Old Testament gives us some fatherly pictures as well. We know some of David's sons. We know his father. We know the relationships that were there. We know Joseph's father and the way that he was kind of an absentee father and all of that. And his brothers had more of an influence, generally negative, on him than positive. And his father had very little influence. His father did, if you recall in that story, give him what we now refer to as the coat of many colors, because he was his favorite of all of the children. There's another example of fatherhood that I want us to look at this morning. The title that I put to my message is, It's Never Too Late to Be a Good Father. Now, as a father, and I've been one now for a long time, Emily, you don't have to tell us how old you are, but your brother is 32. So I've been a father at least 32 years, and he's older than she is, so that gives you some perspective. I can say with certainty that fatherhood is often best evaluated on the back end rather than the front end. As you're looking back, you can see more about it, because there's really no manual for how to be a father. And any father that's worth his salt will tell you on any given day he's not a very good father. We fail. We're human. We don't have a textbook to go to. We have to fly by the seat of our pants in what we do. In the case of the father that I want to talk about this morning from the Old Testament, we can look back and know that he was a pretty poor father. The man's name that I want to talk about this morning is Eli. Eli was from the tribe of the Levites, so he was a priest. His job was to take care of the things in the temple, take care of things where they worshiped, take care of the Ark of the Covenant, take care of the things that they might do for worship, to make the sacrifices. He had two sons that we know from Scripture were about as bad as any two kids you could ever ask for. And I'm not talking about they just cut up and have a raucous time every now and then. I'm talking about guys that turned out really, really rotten. And we know that Eli's part in this is that he didn't do anything to stop them. He didn't do anything to stop them. And he would say things like, oh, fellas, why don't you cut that out? Oh, boys, don't you think you ought to be a little bit better than that? And because they were of the tribe of Levi, they were also priests as well. And they were defiling the temple. They were defiling everything that was going on. And Levi didn't stop them. But in old age, he has another opportunity to be a good father. Now, this time, He's not a biological father. The young one that we're going to talk about this morning is not his biological son, but it's a child that he has been entrusted with. Not so much him, but the child has been entrusted to God. But Eli is going to play a role. Now, I want to tell you up front the three things that I want us to make sure that we take away from this story. One is that whether we're male or female, we all have the opportunity to be an influence on someone else. And we do that both individually and as a church. Almost every time that I've been here, you need to know that I now put you on my resume. Yeah. But here's what I put. I am the unintentional, informal interim at Withful Baptist Church on holiday weekends. Because that's the only time I get to come. Isn't that right, Bill? I mean, it's just the way that it works. Easter, Mother's Day, we skip Memorial Day. Here I am on Father's Day. I'll be back for July the 4th weekend. So if it's okay with you, I'll just continue to put that on the resume in that form. But as a church, almost every time I come, it seems like I end up focusing in on this. We have an individual responsibility, and we also have a church-wide responsibility. And we're going to see from the story of Samuel and Levi how both of those work. I want us to see that. The second thing is that it becomes critical to listen. Hearing and listening are two separate things. Emily, I'm not even looking at her, and she's probably already grinning because she's been on me this morning already because she says that I can't hear. You know what I say to that? What? What? She's right. But there's a difference in hearing and listening, and we're going to talk about the difference in those two as we go through. And it's largely to do with what you do with what you hear. That's what makes hearing listening. If you respond in Act 2, we're going to talk about that. Then the third thing is that as we understand, as we guard and as we guide, then God also leads us to do something about it. Take your Bibles if you have them. If not, I think there's maybe one in the pew somewhere. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'll give you a few minutes if you need to look that up. If you've got a Bible just like mine, it's on page 176. Actually, 201. I don't think you got one just like mine, but that gives you a point of reference along the way. 1 Samuel chapter 3. We know that Samuel is a prototype for Jesus. And actually, his name has a lot of the same kind of characteristics as the name for Jesus. We know that his mother prayed hard for him, and when she finally had this child, Samuel, which means a gift to God, she gives him back to God. And we're going to see a little bit of that in the way that he comes to be a part of Eli's life. His mother does not give him to Eli. She gives him to God. And there's a difference with that. 1 Samuel chapter 3, walk through the scripture with me. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There was not many visions. They didn't hear from God very often. There's a reason for that. Think about what I've just told you about Eli and his sons. They were basically defiling the place of worship. They were making a mockery of the God that they served, of the one that they were called as a priest to serve. And God didn't speak. I'm not sure that God really comes to us and speaks in times of mockery. Maybe that's a lesson for us as well. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. Eli virtually never left the temple. He had a little lean-to kind of place right off of the main part of worship so that the priest would always be there, always be ready, always be close, and he had laid down in the place that he always went to lay down at night. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, so it wasn't very late, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Now, we can't fault Samuel for mistaking the voice. First of all, he'd never heard the voice before. Second of all, the number one voice he was used to hearing was Eli. And in addition to serving God, he was there serving Eli. He figured that the old man laying down needed something. He got up from where he was and went. At least he was listening. At this point, he's only hearing. Let's go back with me to verse 4. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So it would have been impossible at this point for him to recognize the voice. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And the first place that I want you to understand from this scripture this morning, I think that we have a responsibility individually and collectively. Individually as Christian believers, collectively as the body of Christ, to help other people discern the voice of God. To discern the voice of God. "Samuel, I didn't call you." The voice you hear, it's interesting to me that Levi never says, "You're hearing things? What, didn't you, aren't you sleeping well? Are you dreaming?" He didn't question the fact that the boy was hearing something. My dad told me yesterday, I think he said it when Emily was with us. My mom, as you know, has Alzheimer's. And he said that she's beginning to talk to the people on the television. And they're talking to her. She'll say things like, "Why is he staring at me?" Well, I've thought that before, but we don't say that. It's television. She's hearing these voices, but they're not real to her. Or actually, they're very real to her, but they're not real at all. Samuel hears the voice. Levi needs to help him. Eli, really, rather, needs to help him discern. If you do not know God, if you are not walking where God wants you to walk, individually and collectively, you can't help somebody else discern God's voice until you're in the place to discern it as well. So the first step in helping someone else is getting ourselves where we need to be. Now it says to me that Eli, as dastardly a father as he must have been, as terrible as everything else might have taken place with his sons, his heart was still in the right place. He longed for the voice of the Lord, and after the third time, he simply recognizes that God is trying to speak to Samuel. Now some of us would have been kind of put out by that. "I've worked in the church for all these years, and I can't understand why God wants to speak to a young man and he wouldn't speak to me instead." Well, take a look at his track record and you might see. But some of us need to come to the understanding that before we can help a Samuel among us discern the voice of God, we've got to be in the place that we can hear him as well. That may take some spiritual spade work of our own. What do you need to do to get yourself in the position and the place to be able to help someone else hear that voice? The second thing is that you need to build relationships to the point so that someone will trust you to be able to come to them with that word. Obviously, Samuel and Eli had a relationship because of the way that Samuel's mother had turned him over to Eli to work for the Lord in that place. The scriptures before the third chapter tell us that she brought him to the temple not long after he was weaned, which in that society at that time was probably 4 or 5 years old. 4 or 5 years old. So the person that he knows to go to is Eli. So he goes to him. He felt comfortable about that. He's ready to listen. You can't listen to someone or have someone else listen to you without relationship. Relationship takes time. It's a building block. It's a building process. Oftentimes, relationships between generations are two steps forward and one step back. Two steps forward and one step back. Two steps forward and one step back. We make a lot of progress, and then we seem to back off some. We make a good opportunity to go forward, and then we come back some. But the relationship needs to continue if we're going to have opportunity, when opportunity arises, to help someone listen to the voice of God. So three times God speaks. Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. And in all three occasions, I would suggest to you that Samuel is hearing, but he didn't know enough yet to really listen. Now, what's the difference? Hearing is the opportunity to take in an audible sound. I'm not sure that's exactly the definition you have in the dictionary, but that's the way it is. Something happens, you hear. The old adage, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's around to hear it, does it really make a sound? Well, it depends on what your wife tells you. She'll let you know whether it did or not. That's the way that it works. Hearing is that audible sound. The difference between hearing and listening is in response. We hear all kinds of things all day long, sometimes all night long. We hear them. But whether you respond to them or not makes the difference between hearing and listening. Three times Samuel heard. The fourth time, he listened. What made the difference in the first three and the last one? It's Eli. Eli made the difference. Because Eli was the one that could say to him, this is the voice that you're hearing, and this is the way that you need to respond. If Eli had not been there to guide Samuel, he would just have heard it one more time and come back to Eli's bedside and messed him up one more time and woke him up from a deep sleep or whatever the old man was in. We never know. But because he was in position to have relationship with him and to guide him to the right person giving the voice, then Samuel is in the right position to no longer hear, but to really listen. And because he is listening, he responds. Look what happens. Pick up with me again. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy, verse 9. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is, what's the word that's used there? Is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at all the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. That means that I'm ready to respond. That means I'm ready to do something. That means that I'm ready to not only hear the voice, but follow through with the command. Now that Samuel knows where the voice is coming from, Eli gave him that direction. He can move from hearing to listening. Now, what God tells him is something that he didn't particularly want to hear, because the vision and prophecy that God shares with Samuel is about Eli and his boys. And it's not a pretty sight. Now, we're going to come back to that in just a minute, when he continually gets that word and decides to kind of hide it until Eli pushes him for it. But I want to finish the middle point with you right now to make sure we understand that this concept of the difference between hearing and listening has a vital and direct impact upon us as individuals and as a church. We go through our lives hearing. There are those rare, rare moments, spiritually speaking, when we listen, and that means we follow through. It happens with churches, too. We listen all the time, and I think that God desires to speak to us, and maybe three times out of four, we hear and we never listen. But then there is that aha moment when we finally are willing to say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And then we really, really listen. Positive listening impacts not only our ears, but our eyes, our voice, and our feet. It impacts not only the moment in which we are in that audible sound, but it also impacts our future. Dynamic listening will make a difference in your life for the rest of your days. When you really listen, not just here, but when you really listen, you cannot ever be the same. You can't go back to being what you were before. You must move forward. Now that Samuel knows the voice of the Lord, he can never be the same. What about us? Well, it's a nice Old Testament story. God doesn't speak in that way anymore. I believe that God speaks to us. I don't know that I've ever really heard his voice. I can't tell you if he's a baritone or a tenor or a bass. I can't tell you if he's got a voice like we expect God to have, or he has a meek little tenor voice going, hey, I don't know. But oftentimes, God speaks to us in ways that are inaudible to the ear, but are very well heard and listened to by the heart. And the fact that his voice does not come through our ear canals does not mean that it's not the voice of God. So we discern and we encourage others to be discerning. Without the opportunity for someone to help us discern the voice of God, we will continue to simply be a servant in God's house rather than a servant of God. So what's the message that Samuel hears? Pick up with me. The Lord said to Samuel, verse 11, see, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. Samuel lay down until morning. It doesn't say he went back to sleep. You wouldn't either. Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, Samuel, my son. This time it's the voice of Eli. Samuel answered, here I am. What was it that he said to you? Eli asked. Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you. So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, wise words from a man that had not really been very wise. He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. What does that last phrase mean? I think it means that everything that Samuel heard from God, he was really willing to listen to. So this Father's Day, while it's a day that we celebrate the male of the species in a sense, may it also be an opportune time for us to learn to listen as Eli led Samuel to do. May it be a time for us to not let any of God's words to us fall to the ground. May it be a time, an opportune time, for us to search and seek and find those who need someone to help them discern the voice of God. May it be a time that our lives and our hearts and our examples are such that we're in the place to be able to help someone else with that. Throughout my life, I don't know where I would have been if there had not been discerning voices at the times that I needed help. I don't know where I would have been if I had only had to rely on myself to listen to God and interpret that for my life. And instead, he has always brought along at the right time in the right place people who could help me listen clearly. But then ultimately, to really listen instead of hear, it takes action. What are you willing to do? What are you willing to do? It makes a difference. Would you bow your heads with me, please, for a moment of prayer? Father, may it never be too late for us to be father to someone else. Whether we're male or female, young or old, give us the ability in our lives to put ourselves in the position to be able to help someone else discern your voice. Father, we've failed. There have been many, many times in our lives that we've not lived up to that which you want us to be. We've been more like Eli than we like to admit. But now, Father, give us another opportunity to not just hear, but to listen. To not just observe, but put into practice. To not let your words just dribble to the ground and be gone and lost, but to never let them fall and to put them into play, not for our benefit, not for the benefit of this church, but for the benefit of your kingdom. Thank you, Father, for what you are doing, for what you will do, and what you have done. May we be attuned to your voice. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning is a time of invitation. It may be that where you stand in a moment is where you make a decision. Maybe that you need to come to the front and share something with me. Whichever it is, that's okay. But we're going to sing, I think it's 256, or is it going to be on the screen? Will be on the screen. We'll sing quietly together a chorus that you know well, and may it be an opportunity for us to respond. I'm the voice of Eli telling you now, when God speaks to you again and calls you by name, here's what you say. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Even as we sing, would you listen? And would you respond? Let's stand, please. To a time of study, to a world that does not know what we know, may we be salt and light in a bland and dark world. Share the message. Be ready to help someone else listen as we ourselves are willing to say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Amen and amen. Thank you for being here. God bless you.